we give a very warm Australian welcome.
Get some books.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good.
You're good or you're blessed?
Blessed.
I think blessed is more better than good. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, today is better than yesterday.
Yes.
And tomorrow shall be better than today.
Yes.
I'm so glad to be here tonight in Glory International to share with you the Word of God. And I want to thank God for Pastor Kim and his wife, Pastor Mia, for opening this opportunity for me to come over here and share with you the Word of God. And I believe that the Lord is going to speak to us, He's going to speak to our hearts, He's going to bless us. Being a pastor is one of the most difficult jobs. It's more difficult than being a prime minister. I can tell you, I've been in this thing for many years, and it is very challenging because the Bible says that we are shepherds. And I can tell you, I don't know about Australia, but African sheep. I'm not talking about the people, the animals. African sheep are too foolish. They are foolish. Yeah, because I used to take care of animals when I was young. We had cattle mixed up with sheep. I realized the cows were more intelligent. when the sheep fall down, they won't wake up. You have to give them a kick for them to start. That's African sheep. I don't know about Australia. Then the cows, they have the timetable. They know at this time we're going to be here, eat the grass. At 1, we're going to the dam to take water. But the sheep is not like that. You're going this way, they're going this way. So God called us to be shepherds.
Amen.
So being a shepherd and you're pastoring sheep, you have to be very patient. But not Australian sheep, please don't mistake me. I'm talking from the continent where I come from. So let's appreciate the servants of God. With a God bless you and to our offer. And I thank God for Dr. Shu and his wife. He's now connected me this time to Pastor Kim, and I'm staying at their house, and they are spoiling me. Mama is making, I think I'm gaining a lot of weight. But God bless you. Anyway, as you heard, I come from Kenya. But I'm Ugandan, but the Lord sent me in the year 2000. And I'm married to one wife. And we have two boys. And my wife is called Martha. She's also a pastor. And one is called Prince David, and the other is called Jonathan Gift. And so we are in the heart of the city of Nairobi, where we run the church, but we also run 24/7 prayer, and our burden is to pray for nations. So we have been praying for the Aussies. I think when we arrive in heaven, people will say, oh, it's because of your prayer I came to heaven. You know, pray. In the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. You know, you can affect nations just like Daniel's prayer affected Israel when they went Babylon. You can affect nations even when you are far from those nations. So that is it, and I believe that the Lord will greatly bless us. Yeah, anybody who has been to Africa here? The rest of you haven't been to Africa. Please don't go to heaven before you marry. It was even Abraham, and sure, he didn't go to heaven before he went to Africa. He came to Egypt. Jacob also ensured he could not go to heaven. Jesus ensured he could not go back to heaven before he came to Africa. So, ensure. I've written some books. This is a 40-day of prayer and fasting and for revelation of knowledge. This is manuals that we, every year, at the beginning of the year, we have 40 days of prayer and fasting. And so, God gives us a theme, and we develop these manuals as we are praying. So that will help you. Then this CD is to help you to pray. It is called Somebody Pray. 30 minutes of prayer in the spirit and 30 minutes of singing. So I'm not a musician by calling, but the Lord spoke to me a few years ago to produce CDs to help people to pray. And many people have been filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered from bondages and healed from sicknesses. If you can't pray for 1 hour, you put in this CD, then you play it as there's prayer on it, so 1 hour will be like 10 minutes. Then this one is, who will take the land? In this book I share about three things that determines who is going to take the land. That is altars, covenants, and priesthood. Maybe I'll be sharing a bit about that. I can't finish all of it. But the land is very, very, very important. The land, because you live on the land, you sleep on the land, the food you eat comes from the land. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn away from their wicked face and seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will come and heal the land. God is not talking about healing the people, but he's talking about healing the land. Because the land and the people have a covenantal relationship. They are inseparable. So if we're going to see revival come and transformation come in our cities and in our nations, we need to learn how to redeem the land. And this is my favorite book. I like it so much. The Unbeatable Power of 40 Days of Fasting. When you fast for 40 days, your life can never remain the same. Power is unlocked in your life. This is Unbeatable Prayer, and this is three major anointings. The Jehu anointing, which is warfare anointing. Elisha, prophetic anointing, and the other one is the Hazel. So anyway, let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. We're going to read from verse 9-11. The Bible says, all you beasts of the field will come to Deba. Yea, all beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Let's also put a finger there and look at Job chapter 21, verse 15 to 20. The Bible says, what is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, is there a profit in praying? Is there a profit in praying? That's the question in the Bible. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? Is there a profit in serving? Yes. And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? I really love that. Then verse 16, Lord, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How often is the candle of the wicked put out? And how often cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you for gathering us here tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you're present. Use my mouth as the pen of a ready writer to write what is in your heart into the hearts of your people. Write prayer revival. Write the fire of intercession. Write miracles. Write deliverances. Write signs and wonders. And Lord, I am careful to give you back the glory for everything that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name,
amen.
We pray.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I can't forget to thank my brother Adam, who picked me from the airport, through my new Dr. Shiv. You know, the spiritual realm is connected like this. You meet this one, this one connects you to this one. You know, I met Joyce, Joyce introduced me to Adam. Somebody said, whatever you need is four people away from you. You know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that has what you need. Yeah, that's how the spiritual realm works. Is a precept upon precept. Now, tonight, I'm going to be sharing on dangers of prayerlessness. Dangers. The dangers of not praying. What happens, I'm laying a foundation for the my prayer, my teaching is in series. So I'm laying a foundation. Tomorrow, I'll be tackling on altars, how altars work, personal altars, family, church. Why do you need to pray in church? Why do you need to pray in the family? What is the power of the family altar in shaping destiny of your family? And we'll look at quite a number of that. And then, building it up like that until we finish on Sunday. So, today, I want us to begin by looking at what happens when a person or a nation refuses to rise up and pray. You see, there's so much evil and so much darkness that is taking place in nations. And when I talk about darkness, I'm talking about evil, I'm talking about sin, I'm talking about challenges that nations are experiencing that are beyond the human ability to handle. There's just nations. I was telling people yesterday that there is a spirit of insanity that is entered into mankind. And this cannot continue. And the reason darkness increases is because, not because of the absence of the church, you know, we have many churches, but it is because of the church failing to rise up and stand in the gap as the watchman of the nation. Because we are the people that have been given the power of attorney by God to determine the destinies of our nations. The power of attorney, or the power to represent God, was given to mankind. So, in the absence of the church rising up, darkness of lust, darkness of immorality, marriages are breaking left, right, and center. When I came to Australia a few years ago, I stayed with somebody who worked with the government in the 70s. And he told me that before 1970-something, I can't remember, maybe before 1973, in Australia, it was almost impossible for a divorce case to go through. You had to prove beyond reasonable doubt. You had to have valid reasons, you know, for divorce to be granted. In fact, one of the areas where divorce could be granted was when there was, when your partner was unfaithful. And there had to be proof beyond reasonable doubt that surely your partner was unfaithful to you for divorce to be granted. I mean, it was like the land had certain, following certain laws that are in the Word of God. But today, I think I'm told, I think when people get married, is it 50% of the marriages end up divorcing? Is that right? Yeah. I mean, what does that tell you? It tells you darkness is advancing. It is gaining ground. It is gaining ground. You are having a plebiscite which is coming on very soon to vote for something you should not even be voting for. You know? That's not something we should be voting for. It is common sense, you know. We should not be wasting resources and time to campaign and vote for that. That's why I said there's a spirit of insanity, you know, because that is not something to be voted for. But it tells you something. Darkness has taken over in the realm of the spirit. There's a scripture that says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 12, very, very, very powerful scripture. It says, when there is a change in the priesthood, there is a change in the law. When there is a change in the priesthood, there is a change in what?
The law.
In the law. What does that mean? What it means is that when the priesthood changes and stops to seek the Lord, for example, and there is a backsliding spirit, because we are, all of us are priests, isn't it? We are here to represent God. We are here to carry out spiritual transactions that draw the presence of God on earth. But we have two kinds of priesthood. We have the demonic priesthood and we have the godly priesthood. The godly priesthood is you and me. But also on the other hand, we have the demonic priesthood that worship idols, they worship powers of darkness, and they are also drawing the powers of darkness upon the land. So when the demonic priesthood becomes more powerful, you know, because in spiritual things it is your commitment to the God that you worship. Your commitment to the devil cannot unlock so much power on the land. Your commitment to God also unlocks extraordinary power. So when the priesthood on the other side is more committed to their gods, what happens is that they begin to influence in the realm of the spirit the laws that govern. And so, finally, it will be manifested on the land. The laws of holiness, the laws of purity will begin to change to laws of darkness, to laws of perversion. What was initially unacceptable now becomes acceptable as the law, you know? So, I mean, it is just like, let me put it on a personal level. If you decide and say, from now, I'm going to seek the Lord, I'm going to be passionate for the Lord and so on, then you will find that the law of sicknesses cannot prevail in your life. When you change and say, enough is enough, I'm going to be on fire for God, I'm going to spend time in the world, I'm going to seek the Lord, the law of prayerlessness is broken from your life. The law of sicknesses is broken. The law of compromise is broken. So when you change, there is a change in the laws that govern your life. So when there is a change in the priesthood, there is a change in the law that governs the land.
And that's why God is calling upon the church to rise up, because our prayers will change the law.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Our prayers will change the law of the Spirit. Once we overthrow the demonic entities in the realm of the Spirit, then the law of the land will change. Praise the Lord.
Then we will not need plebiscites. And it doesn't mean that everybody is going to get born again, but even to those who are not born again, certain things become unacceptable.
Hallelujah.
They are not born again, but because the priesthood is ruling in the realm of the Spirit, certain things are, don't touch. You can't talk about that. So let's look at some of these things in the scriptures that we have read today from Isaiah. So, the Bible is saying here something very, very interesting. The Lord is saying, all you beasts of the field, come to Deborah. All you beasts in the forest. Now, the beasts that he's talking about here, these are not animals. You know? He's talking about powers of darkness. You remember what Paul says, a great and effectual door has been opened before me, but there are many adversaries. Other versions say, there are many beasts. And then he says, these judgment are blind, they're ignorant, they are all damn dogs, they cannot bark, lying, loving to slumber. You know? Because the watchman, which is the church, you and me, they are lying down, they are sleeping, they are slumbering. So, because of that, the Lord speaks to the beasts in the forests, which are not animals. When you see beasts here, it is representing demonic power to come and devour the people. So, point number one, prayerlessness will cause you to be attacked by powers of darkness. Yeah. Because the devil... Can I remove this? The devil loves to attack people that are prayerless. Let me tell you, child of God, the only thing that can stop the powers of darkness from attacking you and attacking your family is the power of prayer. You know, we have been given the weapons of warfare. I mean, the scripture says that we are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers.
Hallelujah.
But you have to understand that that is positionally. It is positionally. It does not mean, how can I explain it? A young girl that is born, that is just a day old, inside the baby, there is all the potential to be a man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything that girl needs to be a mother is in her. But then she has to eat certain food, grow up in a certain kind of atmosphere for those things to develop. So, though we are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, and though we have the weapons of spiritual warfare, those weapons don't work automatically unless we take the initiative to pray and use them in prayer. So if you don't pray, the devil is not going to say, oh, he's a child of God. The devil will eat you for breakfast. And that's why you see people go to sleep and they are having nightmares. Demons are slapping them left, right, and center the whole night. And they are crying because they don't pray. You know, I was in Malaysia and I met this family. They came for my meeting and they told me, Pastor, we were living in one house and demons were walking over the roof every day. We shifted to another house. After 1 week, demons were moving in that house. We shifted to the third house and demons were, and we are now in the fourth house. And
demons are still moving on the roof. And I told them, come on, that is not the way. You are not supposed to run away from demons. Some of us are looking for demons to cast them out. You are running away because demons don't pay rent. So when you shift you shift to the next house, you shift with them. So I said no. You know, granted, they attended the prayer school and we prayed with them and they went back and stayed in that house. After 1 week, they called me. I was in Paralupa. They told me, hey, the demons are no longer moving on the roof. You have to take authority. You have to pray. I can tell you, if you don't pray, you are positioning yourself to a cycle of continuous demonic attack over your life, over your family, over your children, over the works of your hands, because the devil does not respect nobody who does not pray. In other words, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was born without iniquity. He was born without sin. He was born without transgression. But we see that Jesus Christ could not even perform any miracle before he went for prayer and fasting. It was only after he did not perform miracles because he was the Son of God. No. You know? He performed the miracles because he prayed. The Bible says in James that Elijah was a man with like passions like us. But he prayed and it stopped raining. And then he prayed and the heavens were opened and the rains came. So Elijah did not stop the rains because he was a prophet. Your title as an apostle, your title as a pastor or as a pope or as a bishop or as a child of God, I know I'm talking to children of God here, your title as a child of God does not give you a certificate to operate in the miraculous power. What gives you certificate is your prayer life. Praise the Lord. When you pray, you're a child of God, and now you pray, then you're going to have the power over scorpions, over serpents, over devils. You're going to put them where Christ put them for us. So, point number one, failure to pray will cause powers of darkness to come. Point number two, prayerlessness will cause you to be blind, spiritually blind. You know, you cannot see what is on the heart of God. Because when you pray, your spiritual eyes are opened to see in the realm of the spirit as you spend time in the presence of God. That's the reason why you see that even all prophetic ministry is closely tied to prayer. You know? Because prophets are always saying. I'm talking about authentic prophets. I'm not talking about prophet liars. Because they are prophet liars. They don't prophesy, but they prophet lie. You know? Because they see many prophets who do not pray. They don't intercede, they don't spend time with God, but they're prophesying. Where are they getting the things they're prophesying? So, you will be spiritually blind. And spiritual blindness is very bad. You know? God can be speaking, I mean, bad things can be happening in the nation, but not all people can see those things. Other people look at it as ordinary. You know? I mean, when you see the kind of laws that are taking place and the kind of changes that are happening in your nation, then you realize that there is something. There's something. I mean, why would the Church of Christ be compromising on certain things that are very direct in the scripture? It shows you there is spiritual blindness. But this spiritual blindness did not begin yesterday. It began on the day that the devil removed away the weapon of prayer out of the church. So you cannot see. Thirdly, prayerlessness also causes us to be ignorant. Ignorance. What I mean by ignorance is we lack revelational knowledge. You know, even when you read the scriptures, You can have the knowledge, but you cannot have the revelation. Because revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. You know? And the depth of your prayer is also going to determine the level of your revelation. Your revelation. So, if you don't pray, you can read the Bible, and there's no revelation. Because every scripture that you read, there is so much truth. Oh my God. Every scripture, there is so much truth underneath one scripture. There's just too much truth. One time the Lord told me, the Bible is not big enough to explain whom I am. It can only explain whom I am by the spirit of revelation. Because when you read every scripture by revelation, there's just so much that is hidden. Because the Bible, all the scriptures actually, they are hints. Scriptures are hints. They hint to a deeper truth. You know? That's why we have to read the entire Bible. You know? We have to read the entire Bible every year. Read the scripture, the entire Bible, at least twice. You know? But if you read today, you read Genesis, one chapter, tomorrow, Matthew. You know, if you read the Bible like my mother used to read the Bible like this. She would close her eyes and get the Bible.
Oh, Isaiah.
You are not reading the Bible, you are eating the snack of the Bible. And you know, snacks don't make you strong.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, you need to have those times of studying, but you also need to read the Bible from cover to cover. Yeah. You know, you read 10 chapters of the Bible every day. And so what I'm saying is, but then what is it that is causing people? Because the Lord here is saying that they are greedy. They never have enough. They love to lie down, loving to slumber. Huh? There is a spirit of too much sleep that has come upon the church in these end times. People sleep, and even though they wake up in the morning, they still want more sleep. It is called the spirit of slumber. That slumbering spirit. It is an end time demon. Yeah. And it is not outside the church. It is in the church. You remember what Jesus, when Jesus was talking about the foolish virgins, you know, and you know, the foolish and the wise, and they went and they waited for the bridegroom. And the bridegroom, when he turned up at midnight, the foolish ones were slumbering. They were sleeping. They could not wait. So, the spirit of slumber always removes away the desire to pray. There is no desire to pray. It is not there. You know, some people, they don't even feel a conviction in their hearts if they have not prayed. There is no conviction. It is okay as long as they pray for food. And when they begin to pray, they begin to sleep. When they read the Bible, sleeping. The moment they open the Bible, the sleeping anointing comes down. Have you observed this kind of brothers and sisters? You know, they just... When they read newspapers, there is no sleep. They even get revelations. But the moment they open, I tested that some time back. I had the newspaper here and I had the Bible here. So I read the Bible, I feel sleepy. I read the newspapers, no sleep. And I go, this is a demon. It's a demon. I stood up, I said, now, you demon, I'm going to engage you today. That's why you see some people, they use the Bible as a sleeping pill. They say, I can't sleep, I can't sleep, I can't sleep. Let me read the Bible so that I can sleep. Child of God, the Bible is not your sleeping pill. You know? Why? Because of the spirit of slumber. The spirit of slumber removes away that desire for you even to listen to Christian music, desire to listen to good preaching. The people, even when they come to church, the moment they enter church on Sunday and they sit down like this, sleep. I was preaching in Malaysia one time, and I'm on the pulpit, I'm preaching, and there is a gentleman, he's sitting on one side, and he's not only sleeping, he's snoring. And I said, my goodness, even if I'm a very boring preacher, praise the Lord. Real snoring. I realized this is bringing a lot of distraction, so I stopped preaching. And I said, and the brother woke up. That's good. And you know, these same guys, when they're in church, they're sleeping. But the moment you say the grace, and they move out of the church, they are alive. No sleep, no single sleep. What is it? It is a spirit. It's a spirit. So we need to break that spirit of oversleeping, that spirit of slumber, that kind of, I call it the koala spirit. You know, when I came to Australia, I was taken to your game park, and I was shocked. I met this animal, the koala, and it was eating its leaves, and so I was told, you know, I love animals. I love animals so much. I keep on visiting game parks. I study about animals, because through animals, I get so many messages. So I began to read about the koala, and the writing there was saying it sleeps for 20 hours. So I went to take a photo with a koala because I wanted to show the intercessors in Kenya not to be like a koala. you should not sleep for 20 hours. And so I took a photo with it. And you know what shocked me? The koala was sleeping, eating its leaves. Then it woke up and it looked at me with very lazy eyes. And it went back to sleep. I say, what's wrong with this animal? You don't always have opportunity to see people with chocolate skin. And you look at this guy with the chocolate skin. We are not black, by the way. African people, we are not black. You people keep on calling us black. We are not black people. We are chocolate people. Because this is black, but this skin is not black, it is chocolate. So anyway. So that spirit of slumber is affecting the church. And actually, when the spirit of slumber is upon you, there is a sense of hopelessness. You see bad things happening. Bad things happening in your children, happening in your family, but you feel a sense of hopelessness to rise up. You know, you can only comment about it. But that faith and that hope, if I pray, things are going to change. It is not there. If that is happening to you, then you know that there is a spirit of slumber. It causes you to be spiritually insensitive, spiritually dull. You know, for example, people have dreams. God speaks to us so much through dreams. And some of the dreams, you dream of a beloved one who has died. And then you wake up and you don't pray. You don't pray. You just say, I dreamt. But God is communicating to you. But because of the spirit of slumber, your senses are so insensitive that you cannot even pick. Then after some time, you hear the person you dreamt about and get themselves in something catastrophic or an accident or something because you didn't rise up to pray. You know? So, we need to be very, you have dreams. Animals are chasing you. You know, some of you are always dreaming. Things are chasing you. People are chasing you. Because, let me tell you, dreams always reveal to you your spiritual state. The state of your spirit. So when you're dreaming and you're being chased, you should be dreaming when you're chasing. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, what I mean is, many things that the Lord communicates to us because of slander, we are not able to pick. Raise your hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of slander from my life. I break it now. I crush it now. Slander, loose my life. In the name of Jesus. I break it from my children. I break it from the church in Australia. Let's just pray. Open your mouth and pray. Let's bind the spirit. Let's break the spirit of slumber. Rama Shanta Bagara. Rima Caprikato Zana. Rima Shanta Bagara. Masaba. That sense of hopelessness. Rama Shanta Bagara. Reko Seke Primata. Manda Shanta Bagara. Roshata, the sense of hopelessness. You have somebody sick, he's suffering from cancer, but you can no longer pray because you feel hopeless. You feel he's going to die. Oh, Roshata Magana, we refuse to slumber. We break slumber. We destroy slumber. We paralyze slumber. Loose yourself. Mashata Magata, loose the charger. Mande Shanta Brimata, Rima Shanda, loose the charger. Loose. Loose, Makarama Shanda Madada, Reka Brematara Sanda, Rema Kosaka Bremata, Nanda Shanda Madada, Rima Shanta Madada. Oh my God, stir up our hearts, Roshata. We rise up as a praying church, as an army of God, Nanda Shanta Madada. We are not going to be prayerless, Rima Kosaka Yamadada, Makoba. The Bible says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. A house of prayer. A house of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer. Not a house of slumber. Ramashata. Holy Spirit, release your fire tonight. Release your fire tonight. Oh my God. Ramashata. We break slumber. We destroy slumber. Out of our young people. In the name of Jesus. Ramashata. Rakata. Bakobre. Let revival fire fall on the church. Fall on us tonight. The fire of intercession. The fire of prayer. Let it fall on us tonight. Manda Shata. Rema Kaprikata. Rima Shanda Lagara. Rosata Makaprikato Zakaya. Mareko Sete. Rima Shanda. All that heaviness. The heaviness of prayer. We refuse it. We overthrow it. We break it. Break loose. I break loose. I break loose. Break loose from slumber. Oh my God. I will read my Bible. I will love to read the scriptures. I will love to read the Holy Scriptures. Rima Shanta Bagadosa. Rima Kaprikatosa. Makaprikata. Rima Shandayata. Lord, revive, revive, revive. Revive your people tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God, the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning day and night. The fire shall burn day and night. The fire shall burn. Oh my God, Rashata Makaprekata, Maramasana Wagada,
Oh my God, shut up. We overthrow, we overthrow all slumber, the throne of slumber. We overthrow it from the church in Sydney, from the church in Australia, in the name of Jesus. The church in Australia shall not be a slumbering church. Oh Father, awake, awake, Australia, awake, Australia, awake, Australia, awake. It is time to push back the darkness. It is time to stand on the walls and say enough is enough. Enough is enough. Masataya, devil, you cannot take this nation. Oh, Rashata Makata, Rosete, Remakata Rabazanda Rabazanis. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and say, Spirit of slumber, I denounce you.
I
reject you. Every covenant with the spirit of slumber, tonight, I denounce it. I reject it. I reverse it with the spirit of passion. Passion for prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's continue. So, prayerlessness. So we go, he says, in Job chapter 21, verse 15, we read there. There is a group of people that are asking, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? So, point number four. God begins to answer these people from verse 16. You know, they are saying, child of God, let me tell you, serve the Lord. Don't be like these wicked people. Serving the Lord is an opportunity. It is not a favor we are doing God. I used to serve the Lord. When I was a young man, I was in my church. I used to be the only interpreter. My pastor used to preach in English, but I used to interpret the message in the local Ugandan language. And the whole church relied on me. I was the only one that understood the English very well and the local language very well. And we had, 70%, they never knew the English. So I was serving the Lord and the Lord was using me. But I was very proud. I felt the church was not recognizing me for my service. So at times I used to come late. My pastor would be there, Subi. And I'm late to come and do the interpretation. And so he would be struggling to preach. And I did that for a long time. Then I would come in the middle of the service, and it was like, oh, glory to God, Subi has finally come, you know. Those who don't understand English now can. I was a very proud guy. One day, I came late. I came just about the service, but the pastor was so disgusted with me. So he asked in the congregation, is there anybody else who can help to do the interpretation? And, of course, I knew there was nobody. There was a young man who had visited our church that day. And he said, Pastor, I can try. And so he came and he began to do the interpretation. Wow. That was the best interpreter I had ever seen. He was 10 times better than me. He was good. So then at the end of the service, as the pastor was finished, every time the pastor finished to preach, he would begin a song and he would call the worship team. So he began a song and this young man began to back him.
The young man had the voice of an angel. Everybody was shocked, young man. When you come in, it's like this brother, he sings that you have a wonderful voice, man. Amen. Yeah, it's such a blessing. He was singing alone, you would think there are five people back there. And I told Pastor King, this guy is amazing. God bless you. So, then the pastor said, young man, which church do you come from? You are so gifted, wow! Then the young man said, Pastor, I have been praying and looking for a church where I can serve God. And I believe God has positioned me here. I'm going to be serving God here. Oh, Pastor, oh, glory! Thank you for coming. And in my heart, I say, my position is gone. But let me tell you something. From that day, I could not step on the pulpit to do the translation. The guy was too good. Too good. I mean, you cannot compare with me. And he was a moving Bible. When the pastor would say, that scripture is there, I think in the book of Matthew. He said, oh, Pastor, Matthew chapter 5. I can tell you, for the next... So I became irrelevant. So from that day, whether I came or I didn't come, nobody cared. Then I began coming early. Now I began coming early, very early to church, but still I could not stand there for 8 months. And when I was restored back, I was restored to translate announcements. Not the preaching. No. You know, so child of God, what I learned in this, whatever opportunity God has given you to serve and serve, serve, give your best. Yes. Because there are better people who can do a better work than you. Are we together? Do everything with your might, with your heart. Serve with everything within you. Because don't think you're doing him a favor. God is God. Mm-hmm. He told Elijah, I have 7,000 people. So I got a revelation. Every position, there are 7,000. Who can do better than what you're doing? So please, do it. These guys are saying, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Then God begins to answer. So let's look at point number 4. Lord, their good is not in their hand. Point number 4. Prayerlessness will make you to lack power to determine destiny. You lack power to determine destiny. You know? God is answering them and telling them, because they are saying, what is the profit for praying? What is the profit for praying and what is the profit? Then God says, their good is not in their hands. Which means that they don't have the power to determine good things happening in their lives. Now, God has given you power, the power of dominion. The power of dominion, because Genesis 1 says that, you know, let's make man in our own image and likeness and let them have dominion. The power of dominion that God has given you is also to determine your destiny. Determine the destiny of your family, destiny of the ministry, destiny of the nation. Many people say the destiny of our nation is in the hands of God. People usually say that, but that's not true. The destiny of the nation, even your destiny, is not in the hands of God. The destiny of the nation is in our hands, but the strategy is in the hands of God. The strategy to how to fulfill that destiny. Because the power that is given us, that dominion power that is inside us. So, when you don't pray, the devil can always bring bad things to you. Because what does prayer do? Prayer unlocks good things and subtracts bad things, stops bad things from happening, and invites good things to you. Praise the Lord. It invites the presence of God, invites the power of God, invites the anointing, you know? It invites spiritual blessings to take place in our lives. But on the other hand, it stops the powers of darkness. So if you don't pray, you don't have power to determine good things. That's why we need to pray. Pray for the family. Pray for your city. Pray for your nation. You know, determine the good things that are going to happen in the nation of Australia. But without that, you don't have power. Raise your hand and say, I have power. To determine good things happening in my nation, in my children, in my family. I determine good things and I stop bad things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Point number 5, he says, the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Prayerlessness will cause you to be manipulated by wicked counsel.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're not hearing what the Lord is saying. You can always follow counsel that is not from God. Invest where God is not leading you. You know? Get involved in relationships that God is not even leading you to. I met a friend, a gentleman in Malaysia who was conned $1 million in Nigeria. You know, he went up to Nigeria and they conned him money, $1 million. And when he told me the story, I told him, brother, why are you praying about it? Through all this communication and emails, he said, Pastor, I was not praying. When you pray, it is very difficult for the devil to manipulate you. And even to be deceived. Because your conscience will always raise the red flag. You know? There will always be certain cues that the Holy Spirit will drop in you to tell you this is not the way. At times your heart becomes heavy. You want to do something, but there's a heaviness. Have you experienced that? The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to us. He doesn't speak to us like this. Bam, 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 bam. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You shall not follow that way. No. But if God speaks to you in a loud voice, repent. It means you are rebellious. If God has to speak very loud, he spoke very loudly to the children of Israel because they had no Holy Spirit. So he had to come on Mount Sinai with pam, 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 pam. You know? But, when you spend time in the presence of God, in prayer, counsel, God will give you counsel. And that counsel can come through conviction. At times it comes through thoughts. You know? At times you think that the one is there. One of the powerful ways God speaks to us is through the moment, through your thoughts. There is always a thought that comes from somewhere in your spirit. And it comes and it passes your mind. A very simple thought, but powerful. Have you seen yourself? You are not thinking about something. Then suddenly, a certain thought comes. The Holy Spirit is giving you a hint. If you stop and say, wait a minute, what is this? You'll get details. But many times, you just brush it off. Then, a few days after that, something happens. Oh! Come on, I thought about it! Have you experienced that? So, some people, they believe they must pray and sleep so that God can speak to them. Their God speaks when they are sleeping. You know, counsel of the wicked is far from us when we pray. Point number six. What it says, how often is the candle of the wicked put out, and how often cometh their destruction upon them? Prayerlessness causes destruction to come. A continuous cycle of destruction, a continuous cycle of challenges and problems. You know, brothers and sisters, all of us are supposed to face challenges. But this life, you know, there are some people from January to December, they are having problems. They have a problem, their husband a problem, the children a problem, at job there is a problem, at church there is a problem, the dog has a problem. I mean, they have always challenges. Now, when you don't pray, then you allow that cycle of issues to come in your life. Because you don't have power to stop. Okay? At point number seven, he says, God layeth up his iniquity for his children. Iniquity. Because what is iniquity?
Unrighteousness.
Yeah. Iniquity. You know, there are three words in the Bible which are very, many times, interchanged. Sin, transgression, and iniquity, but they're different. Sin is what you have done on a personal level. Transgression is the lifestyle of the sin. I mean, sin, transgression usually takes place in the second generation. Because transgression is more higher than sin. That's why you need an intercessor to help you to come out of transgression. For example, David, one wife, Bathsheba, he fell in immorality. That was a sin. When it came to Solomon, it was not one wife. How many did he have? He had 300 and 700 what? Concubines. He was a very strong man. Because I'm married to one wife. And managing one wife, you still need the grace of God. Praise the Lord. For you. Raise your hand and say fire. Say fire. Say fire. But what I'm saying, it was a transgression. For Solomon, it was no longer sin. Because it gets worse with the preceding generation. But iniquity always happens in the third generation. That's why God says, I visit the iniquity of the children's children to the third and fourth. God does not visit sin, he visits iniquity. So, iniquity is what is not what I'm responsible for. Iniquity is what my ancestors did. It is the harvest of the sin that my ancestor, now it becomes a harvest. For example, it can be the harvest of sicknesses. Actually, many sicknesses are caused by iniquity. Many. Because iniquity is a spiritual cord that photocopies all spiritual data in your past generation into the next generation. You know, all the weaknesses are, I mean, from a medical perspective, it is the DNA. But from a spiritual perspective, iniquity is that spiritual cord that photocopies and transfers all the weaknesses in the past generation into the next preceding generations. So you find that sicknesses develop, come as a result of the sins that were done by the ancestors. But now, in fact, in simple words, iniquity is the harvest of what was done. Many sicknesses, cancers, and so on, they come through iniquity. We've been doing Solomon assemblies to deal with iniquity, because the children of Israel, they used to deal with iniquity how? They would spend the whole day in prayer, in repentance, the iniquity of the nation. Because iniquity is in layers, because it is a generational thing. So you can repent for your sin and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And that takes place in a minute. But you cannot deal with iniquity like that. Because iniquity is in layers, because it is a generational thing, you need quality and quantity time to deal with the iniquities of nations, iniquities of cities, and the family iniquities. So, we've been doing Solomon assemblies to repent, and one of the things that we have had, many people got healed of cancer and those blood diseases. Just by spending the whole day repenting and crying out to God, Lord, forgive us for the iniquities in our families. Forgive us. Of course, there are five, I will not speak much about that, but there are five major gateways of iniquities in people's lives. But the scripture here is saying that God layeth up his iniquity for his what? For his children. So if you don't pray, child of God, what are you trying to say? What you're saying is the same challenges that I've had, the cycles of sicknesses, the cycles of demonic attack must also go to my children. The cycle of iniquity will continue. Do you really want your children to go through what you have gone through? Do you want it? No. So how do you stop iniquity? You stop it in prayer. Somebody has to say, enough is enough. Praise the Lord. In my family, we have had problems of divorce. I stop it. It will not continue in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We have had problems of cancers. Our father died of cancer, grandmother died of cancer, and so on and so on. That iniquity must not go beyond this level. Our children will not have cancer. You deal with it in prayer. Raise up your hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, sanctify me from every kind of iniquity. Wash me today. I repent of the iniquities in my family line to the third and fourth generation. The iniquities of idol worship, bloodshed, broken covenants. Wash me, purify me from iniquities of injustices, sexual perversions. Have mercy over me. Today, I stand in the gap to stop every sickness that comes by iniquity. Sicknesses of the blood, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, psoriasis, all sicknesses. I stop them tonight. I flush them out. Out of my blood. Out of my blood. Out of my children. Out of my children. In the name of Jesus. Every iniquity of mental breakdown, madness, forgetfulness, in the name of Jesus, I flush it out with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a very long thing, but iniquities are very, very, very powerful. They bring a lot of sicknesses to people. And as the Lord began to teach us about dealing with iniquities, we've seen many healings, sicknesses of the blood that are in people's bones, and people got healed through repentance. Let me give you the last point and then we pray. So, our children should not go through what we went through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our children should enjoy a better life. Amen. Amen. So, I declare that all sicknesses are going to stop. They are going to stop. Amen. No sickness shall be passed over to your children in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Those cycles that you've been having in your family that break marriages and so on, This is the end. They will not happen in your life again. They will not happen in your children. Your children will be married forever. Through prayer, we are able to stop iniquities and begin new cycles. New cycles of blessings. The kingdom of darkness is driven by a force called iniquity. The kingdom of God is driven by a force called righteousness. Yeah. So, the last point is prayerlessness will make you to be you'll be left behind. Deuteronomy 25:17-18. Then we pray. Prayerlessness will cause you to be left behind. Tell your neighbor, be careful. I may leave you behind. I may leave you behind. You know? You see, the kingdom of God is not the civil service. Do you have the civil service? Is it, do you have a public service? You have the public service? Yeah. In the public service in Kenya, they promote you not because of your efficiency at work. If you're working for government, public service, they promote you by the number of years you have served. I don't know if it works the same in Australia. Grade 2. Next year, grade 3, grade 4. Even if you went to the office and you just said, the spiritual service does not operate like that. Somebody shaking his head. But I'm saying, if you don't pray, you're going to be left behind. Deuteronomy says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when he came forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble and behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not God. When the children of Israel were going to the promised land, they were led by the pillar of fire at night. Now, when Amalek came to attack the children of Israel, he attacked the ones who were behind. Yes. Not the ones in the middle, not the ones in the front. Why? Because he could not attack the people at the front. They were very close to the presence, to the pillar of fire. Huh? He could not attack the guys in the middle. They were still close. But there were those who were behind. And the Bible says they were what? Feeble. You are dipped at? By who? Mogwai, Mokwi. I think the Mandarin was a Mokwi. Mokwi, the devil. If you don't pray, you are going to be depressed. I've always done this in several places. I tell people, you are depressed. Speak in the spirit for 3 hours for the next 21 days. Just pray in tongues. That medication has never failed. Because prayer raises up your spirit. Because do you know when you pray, when you pray, do you realize that you feel light?
Yes.
You know, your spirit has wills. Yeah? It has what?
Wills.
It's in the scriptures. Your spirit is within wills. So when you pray, the wills begin to move. They move. That's why when you pray, you feel light. You're moving in the spiritual realm. You're moving. You are rising. Oh my God. Woo. Zaga, zaga. But if you don't pray, you are low. Your spirit is operating at a very low spiritual frequency. That's why David says to his soul, my soul, why art thou downcast? Yeah, why art thou cast down? It's talking about a low spiritual frequency. You are in a valley. But when you begin to pray, zaga, zaga, ra, ra, ha, 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 you begin to rise. You begin to rise. Your faith rises up. Have you realized that? Hope rises up. Oh my God. Joy rises up. You feel. So if you don't pray, the cloud, God's presence is always doing what? Moving. It moves. God is always moving.
Yes.
So, okay, let me just ask you this. Have you realized, if you take 3 days without praying, then you begin to pray, you sense like the presence is very far from you. Have you ever experienced that? I mean, the presence is with you, but you sense like there is a struggle to break through. You know, you're struggling. If you pray today, you pray tomorrow, you easily connect. But if you take 3 days, 4 days without prayer, you, oh my God, it's like, why? The cloud has moved. Hallelujah. You are behind. And what? People. And what is going to happen? The Americans. Hallelujah. The Americans. When they come, they are looking for the what? Church, they stay in church for 30 years, another person comes to church, 5 years, the person is so powerful. The other one is 30 years, no power is behind. Why? Because this person is only 3 years in the church, but he's always in the prayer meeting, he's in the word of God, he's in worship, he's attending the home study groups and so on, he's praying. So, because your spiritual growth is directly connected to your prayer life. So you'll be left behind. Other people will just be passing you, Ferrari. Ferrari speed. They just turn you back by. Or you are there with your, which is the slowest car here? You're trying to change gears with your Toyota or something, I don't know. Ferrari guys are just Rama Shata. We want to pray. Hallelujah. Yes. We want to pray now. Are you ready to pray?
Yes.
Let's open our mouths. Let's stand up. We want to pray. We want to catch up. Listen. How many people want to catch up with the cloud tonight? How many people feel you're left behind? The Bible says that, they shall run and they shall not. They shall walk and they shall. So in the realm of the Spirit, you run and you walk, isn't it? Can you just try to do like this? Just practice it. Say, I'm catching up. I'm catching up. I'm catching up with the clouds. I'm catching up with my prayer. Catching up with my Bible reading. But now, let's begin to pray. Raise your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of prayerlessness. I break prayerlessness. Lose my life. I will not be prayerless. I am prayerful. I release the fire of prayer. Holy Spirit, supercharge my spirit. I rise up from prayerlessness. Now open your mouth, begin to pray. Come on, let's open our mouths and let's pray. Let's catch up. Break that prayerlessness. Break the spirit of prayerlessness from your life. Break it in the name of Jesus. Break it in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody pray. Tonight, we are catching up with the crowd. We are catching up with the presence of the Holy Ghost. We are catching up tonight. We are catching up. Oh, we will not be left behind. Oh, Rasha Tamagara. Raka Tamashanda. Masakayamatata. Don't close your mouth. Open your mouth. And if you cannot pray in the spirit, open your mouth. Ask the Lord to fill you. Tell the Lord in understanding. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me with fire. Fill me with the prayer anointing. Masha Tamagaruza. Rema Kapu Kakuzata.